So I see the benefit of me being their angel investor really in my expertise and my legal expertise, bringing this network as well, and you know, help them raise their real Series C round or even A round, and yeah, bringing more know-how to the table, etc.
This is Female Business Angel Podcast,
your go-to destination if you're a business angel or would like to get into angel investing and don't know where to start.
Or if you just want to find out how we tick. We're Tina and Katja, both business angels from Berlin. Well, I'm a VC now. We will interview established female business angels about how they got started and how it is going, including all the best tips and tricks.
So get ready for some insider stories and personal empowering moments and revelations with these incredible women.
Welcome to this journey with us.
So today we're here in this beautiful scene studio. So thanks again for letting us using this space. Thanks to Vlad and to Scene Ventures. It's a pre-seed fund investing in early stage startups. And we're super honored to be friends of the house. And today we have an amazing guest here. We have Eva.
Hi.
So Eva is a lawyer. She is initiator of Venture Ladies, which is a VC network for female entrepreneurship and empowerment. And she recently joined early stage VC called Cavalry Ventures as a general counsel. Welcome.
Thank you, Katja, for having me. I'm very honored to be a guest today.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you here. And let's start with our guests introducing themselves. So sure. Tell us who you are. Tell us your story, your professional story, your personal story. The stage is
sure.
Yours.
Yeah. So, I'm Eva, as you said. I'm a Berlin-based attorney at law. I was actually born and raised in Berlin as well. So I'm from Schöneberg.
The real Berliner.
Exactly. And I'm a lawyer, and I have worked in venture capital for the last 8.5 years. And for most of the time, I was with a big corporate law firm. And in 2017, I changed sides for a little while and co-founded a startup. Then, for different reasons.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were starting
up. It unfortunately was not exactly the experience that I hoped for. So not everything went very smooth, but this is, I think, a different story, which we can talk about another time.
That's for the startups.
Exactly. Startup nevertheless, you know, I had my learnings, and so after I, you know, went out of this company, I had a little cash to start investing. And I was always fascinated by this whole VC world. And being a lawyer and a consultant, I always asked myself, you know, why am I sitting on the kind of wrong side of the table, just being, you know, a consultant and not, you know, making my own deals. So once I had a little cash, I thought to myself, I really want to invest as well. So in 2017, I found eventually the courage to do so. And I had already Venture Ladies, which I initiated in 2014. So I knew many, many female founders who had great ideas and who were in desperate need for cash and for funding.
And for legal advice.
For legal advice, apparently, of course. So I did my first ticket into a cosmetic company, a female founder that I had known for almost a year back then already, whom I had supported on a pro bono basis a lot. And yeah, I was very excited to just get this started. So I made a very small ticket. This was my first ticket, and it was a road ever since, with all the ups and downs that you can possibly experience with a startup and an angel investment. But to me, it felt like, you know, hands-on master studies, learning a lot, having the roller coaster experience. And yeah, from there, I slowly took step by step to discover more
entrepreneurs, female founders. And yeah, so far I've done 5 tickets. So it's not, wow, you know, like that much maybe, mm-hmm, but well selected and very exciting.
What are your selection criteria and how do you scout your deals or do they scout you?
Yeah. Well, because of Venture Ladies, many pitch decks and many especially female founders approach me. So I have really no problem with the deal flow. So they kind of approach me, luckily. Unfortunately, I have not enough cash to do all the tickets that I would want to do. How do I select my deals? So honestly speaking, as I know that, you know, with my ticket, I do ticket sizes 10 to 20, at the most 25K. So I'm very well aware of the fact that my cash impact is kind of limited due to the ticket size. So I say this very openly to the founder teams. So I see the benefit of me being their angel investor really in my expertise and my legal expertise, bringing this network as well, and, you know, help them raise their real series seed round or even A round, and yeah, bringing more know-how to the table, etc. So all my investments actually, I have had known for a long time before I actually did place my investment. So I try to only invest in female founders. So most of them are part of the Venture Ladies network, or actually all of them. And I have worked with them at least for a few months, let's say 2 or 3 months on a pro bono basis, or even consulted them previously in legal aspects. And after having, you know, gotten to know each other and realizing that we really get along very well and we benefit from each other, that is kind of the time when I decide, okay, now I really want to be part of this project, of this company. And I also all the times I think I was the first angel to invest in the respective companies. So I'm really like I have a very attractive valuation, of course, because I'm the first one in the cap table. At the same time, after having worked together for already at least 6, 8, sometimes even more weeks, I already know that, you know, we get along well, and that whatever I can bring to the table is actually of value to the team. And yeah, so far I'm very successful with this, in terms of that all my angels still, you know, very highly appreciate me being in the cap table, and vice versa. I'm very fond of my teams that I've invested in so far.
And they raised further out, yes. So no one has closed down so far. So 100% success rate for now.
But I do have to admit that, of course, also with my portfolio companies, as I mentioned before, you know, I have experienced all these ups and downs that come along with a VC company or with a startup company. And we have had difficult times, yeah, especially also with my first investment. There were times when I really tried to support this female founder to, like, you know, have her not give up on her idea, because I think she's a very outstanding, strong female founder. But as we all know, it's not easy for, you know, for them to raise rounds. And then, unfortunately, for this particular company, Corona hit us hard, and it was a stretch to go through until today. But we have kept our nose above the water, kind of, and I think
now it's going up again.
It's going up again, and then also with the other companies, you know, there were times when, you know, even a 5K bridge loan would, you know, help them to pass the next months. And so as I said, it's ups and downs, but I really believe in my founder teams. And so far they have really not, they have not disappointed me at all. And they have really kept up the speed, and they have, the strong belief in themselves and in their products and in the market. And I share it with them and support them whenever I can.
That's really cool. And do you invest in a specific industry? So do you have a specific investment focus, or is it more about just getting along and female founders?
So as I said, as I'm really an angel by heart, I don't even have a strategy. I don't even have a fixed, you know, bullet point list that that has to be met in order for me to make an investment decision. I do not have a focus currently. I have, you know, as I said, a cosmetic thing. I have a drink, a startup that I invested in. I have a tech startup, a B2B SaaS company. And I also have a e-commerce platform business that I'm invested in. So it's I think, very diverse. And again, you know, I really, like, the idea was to invest in females. So I really want a female in the founder team. And yeah, I as I said, I think the personal aspect is the most important to me. I really need to identify with the team. I need to see the drive of the team. I need to see
you
this
go
like
the checklist.
Yes, yeah. So I mean, it's like for me, it's like team, and then eventually I ask myself, do I want this product? Like, do I think that the world needs this product? And
always, yeah.
To be honest, with this first angel investment, I didn't ask myself the question, and I'm not really into cosmetics at all. Privately, like, I don't even use them. But I wanted to support this founder, and I never regretted this, you know, decision, because I think that if you have a really good female entrepreneur who has per se a harder time to get funding, then I think this is already a good incentive to invest and just do something different from like other female, other angel investors or professional VCs, in order to shift more money, you know, to the female side of the VC world.
Yeah. Like, to stand out from the crowd. Mm-hmm. And how do you collaborate with other fellow angels? Because obviously, so I think that's an advantage, being an angel with legal background. Mm-hmm. You can be industry agnostic, really. Mm-hmm. That's not my case, for mm-hmm. example. So I do look for like tech companies mm-hmm. and companies with a consumer or creators mm-hmm. focus. But I mean, legal advice, you need it for any company. Yes. It doesn't matter if you sell software or yes. non-alcoholic gin.
Exactly.
Or cosmetics. How do you, so you start as a first angel like mm-hmm. many times mm-hmm. or sometimes you're one of the first and mm-hmm. then other fellow angels come in. So how is this synergy? How is it working? Yeah. Or are there any conflicts?
So as you know, I mean, also how did we meet each other, Katya, right? So we have these like angel networks, like female angel WhatsApp groups or Slack groups. And of course, we talk about our investments. We meet for coffee or like pre-corona, we also met on events. Right. There was this thing. There do you remember like 2 years ago there, where you could actually go physically and meet people? Yeah. So it's more, you know, talk about the cases and then just ask your own network if a specific company has a certain need for a certain know-how or a certain network to address. Then of course I think to myself, who of Venture Ladies, you know, could be a good person to talk to, and then I reach out to you or like to another one of the evangelistas or female angels, and I introduce the startup team and the product and the company to other angel investors, and hopefully successfully, and then they come along and on board as well. And sometimes even, you know, I make the introduction to some venture capital funds to raise the early pre-seed seed round, of course. And yeah, as you mentioned, it's of great help that I have all this legal knowledge and know-how to structure, you know, a convertible round or pooling agreement or even a seed agreement or whatever is coming along.
How much equity to give away.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I think I have a very good overview what is kind of market standard, how much VSOP do you need in an A round or in a seed round, what is the difference, like how much equity should the core founder team still own after the A round to be attractive for a B round, or after the seed round to be attractive for an A round investor, and commercial terms like that. So I think it's like it's always a give and take, and whatever I can bring to the table for my teams, of course, I'm more than willing to bring and to support in these aspects.
Yeah, we've been having a couple of conversations already, and so until now, what like came out, the conclusion was that it's more of a give than take, actually. Well, especially with the early stage companies, mm-hmm. and we will see what their outcome will be. Mm-hmm. But you have to give first, and as you also said, so you have to work with someone for 6-8 weeks. I think it's actually a very good strategy, because sometimes it feels like speed dating. Mm-hmm. So you are on this call, you see the pitch, or you see it at a demo day. Mm-hmm. And then you maybe have a lunch. Well, that's just 1 hour. And then you meet for coffee, you make a reference check. So you don't do, I mean, as an angel investor, you cannot do the same due diligence as like a Series A fund or growth fund would do. Yeah. You cannot take that much of the founder's time. Yeah. So it's really good if you can actually invest some working hours beforehand.
Yes,
it's a luxury as well. I don't know. You have to find this time.
Yes. Yeah, and it's more and more difficult. And this is also a reason why I actually didn't even do a single ticket this year, because I had so much work with my, like, already, like, with the investments that I'm having. And as I know that my ticket size is you know, modest, I know that I really want to bring another value to the company. So I don't want to invest in too many, because then I would not have the time to do justice to each of the investments. So I'm looking forward to do my first exit, hopefully sometime in the next, you know, 2 or 3 years. And then hopefully if it goes very well, I will be able to stock up my ticket size a little bit.
It will go well. But from my experience, I mean, I've been in this for 2.5 years. Your ticket size for Europe, it's good for a strategic angel, for like smart money approach.
Yeah.
It's it's not small. It's
if you go in very, very early stage, and I mean,
exactly.
Two of the companies that I invested in, I went in upon founding. Like, I was a founding shareholder to the company. So I had already worked with the teams for a few weeks or even months before they even found the GmbH, the limited liability company. So that was a really good experience, and I think also strategy, because it gave all of us the security of really wanting to work together. And also for me, it was good to take like a rather small part of the company in shares, but then like... you know, for a little ticket, it's still like a very attractive valuation, like below €1 million maybe. So it's, so I'm happy with this strategy because if one of them finally work out and, you know, does this hockey stick growth curve, then I think I did a very good investment.
You're quitting your job and you're going full time into angel investment.
Well, I don't know about that. Let's talk again in like two or three years.
We'll do the exit podcast later on. And how did you get into VC in first place? How did you know about VC? Like, was it during your university studies? Yeah. What was the initial inspiration?
To be honest, it was more like a co-accident. I never, you know, came across the VC scene and thought, oh, this is so, like, I really want to do this. But it was more that during my traineeship as a lawyer, I worked in the IPIT section, and there were some VC like startup companies involved in as clients in the law firm that I worked for back then.
In Berlin.
Yes, and also in Munich and also in New York. And then I thought, okay, this is really interesting, you know, like IT, IP law wise. And when I came back to Berlin to start my first real job, I applied for an like media lawyer job, but the vacancy that was offered to me eventually at this specific law firm was like part time doing VC as a lawyer and part time IT IP rights, right? And then I said, okay, that's
cool,
interesting. And then I started working, and it turned out that I'm doing so much more VC than IP IT, but I really liked it and enjoyed it. So after just a few months, I totally shifted my personal focus to corporate law and VC law rather than doing IPIT, because it just interested me much more. And then I was hooked, you know.
That was 10 years ago.
That was in 2013, so it was 8 years ago.
Yeah, so then, the Berlin startup ecosystem was very, very different.
Yes.
And also there were not that many VCs here.
Yes, but and it was
starting.
It was starting. Yeah. It was very different. Terms were by far more investor-friendly than they are now. So I think the ecosystem has shifted also a lot towards like being more founder-friendly. Like, I think the competition between the VCs, you know, has increased dramatically. And that's reflected in the terms that founders can get if they are good founders as of now. Also, I think back then the scene was so much more masculine. It's really like hard to believe that it can be or could be more masculine than it is still now. But back then it was really rare to meet a woman on the TOA or NOA or on a tech conference. And this is also why I initiated Venture Ladies in 2014. Like, I had the need, like the urgent need to talk to a woman who's also in VC. And I found, like, met some really, I don't want to say beautiful, like brilliant minded women. I think it would, there were 12 of them that I had met during the like last 1.5-2 years of me being like a VC lawyer.
So you were proactively I called all of them
and I'm like, hey, let's hang out next Tuesday at a wine bar after work and talk business. And all of them were really appreciative and they were all like, oh, this is such a nice idea. I love to like just meet women of the startup scene. And then every, like, I think we were 16 women at this first Stammtisch meetup, and then it was over and I didn't even plan to make it like a recurrent event. But after, like, we, you know, we were like the last one to be like carried out of the wine bar. Like, we, nobody wanted to leave because it was so inspiring. And then everybody's like, okay, when do we meet again? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I didn't plan for it, but if you want to meet again, sure, I'll organize it. And so we made it like a monthly thing. And then, you know, I think the next time, the second time, we were already like 32 and then 50 and then 100 and then 200 people, women on the on my email list. And
so
then,
got into VC by accident.
Yes. Kind of.
Initiated venture latest by accident as
well. So let's not call it accident. This sounds so...
But it happened organically.
It happened organically. Yeah. It came to me like very naturally. And yeah, and I mean, now we are like 2,800 women and men. We have like 15% men in, at our Venture Ladies Network. And I find it very fruitful, very inspiring, and I still enjoy a lot. And I mean, this is also how we met, right, Katja? So yeah. It's really...
So where does it live now? I remember there was a Facebook group.
Yes, and we are trying to shift the community to LinkedIn.
Okay.
Because Facebook is a little bit... Well, yeah, we all know and have our opinion about Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. But as the Facebook group is still by far the largest, with like, I think, 2,600 members or something, we will keep it open, you know, until everybody has, you know, shifted to LinkedIn, or we do it like parallel. And me having joined Cavalry just as of September this year, I'm also integrating the network a little bit more into the VC network to try to get some more to be more forceful, like have more power, and also eventually have more access to VC money for female founders, because so far, you know, we have a rather decent and good angel network, I think, but some of the companies are like mature enough, of course, to raise like significant seed or series A round amounts, and then the angel pockets are not deep enough.
No, they have to go further.
Exactly.
Yeah, so step up that game.
Yeah. So I'm very happy to be very well connected now also to the VCs.
Yeah, and probably for Cavalry, it's also a good deal flow. Did you notice the increase of female founders in the top funnel since you've joined?
Yes, I think so. But it's for Cavalry, I think they have a rather strong focus on B2B SaaS companies, and with Venture Ladies, we have a lot of medtech, a lot of biotech, a lot of femtech.
D2C.
I mean, D2C, fashion. Kind of like family related things. So there are some, like most of them are a little bit out of focus for Cavalry. So I don't think we have made like an investment yet, but we have definitely had like really closer looks to some of the Venture Ladies decks. Yeah. And I mean, I think there's still some in the pipeline. And I'm sure that eventually, I mean, I've just joined like 2.5 or 3 months ago, right? So I'm sure that eventually there will be a Venture Ladies investment also for Cavalry.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Cavalry, this is, I bet on this, yeah.
Fingers crossed. I liked it when last time we met actually at an offline event, one of the first events that took place after the never-ending lockdown. It was really fun because when you arrived, and like women started arriving, and they were all related to Venture Ladies, so they were members.
Yeah.
So the only women at the party at the beginning were really, were all like, they belong to your circle, like inner circle, extended family. And I also love the fact that you brought your au pair.
Yes.
Like, so you're all into female empowerment.
Yes.
That you left your husband at home and you took your au pair to the business party.
Yes.
It's super cool.
Yeah, because...
She's amazing.
Yeah, my au pair is really, I mean, she's very young, obviously, as all au pairs are, but I told her about it, and she just mentioned, you know, that she find it very interesting. So we asked my husband if he would do the the baby to bed and girl to bed service. And he said, yeah, sure. Perfect. I mean, this is important. You know, you girls, you women, go enjoy yourselves and connect yourselves. And yeah, this is why I brought her. And I mean, she's an amazing young woman, very educated and very, you know, well-traveled already, even though she's only 19. And I really admire her and also maybe her generation for being so informed and so bold. You know, when I was 19, I had not this like feminist education and background, yeah. And I was not so differentiated about the views on the world. And I think it's kind of like this Greta Thunberg generation who I really build upon. And I know that she will like even pave the way even more for my daughters than I made it in the past. And I hopefully still am doing. So I think you can never start too early, you know, to network and to, yeah, just... meet inspiring people.
Yeah, who inspire you, you inspire them. No, I totally agree. I think it's a very different generation and in a good sense. Mm-hmm. So, and I think you even learn more like from the younger generations than from the older ones. So yeah. I talk to her a lot. She's an inspiration. So, So what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about getting into angel investing but have not made like a huge exit yet or...
Yeah, so I think it's, first, if you want to get started, then that's the first thing. Like, you really have to want it. And then just make sure that whatever money you're putting into, you know, it's still a gamble, I think. And, don't take an amount of money that would, you know, stress yourself like a lot if you lose it. And then I think it's the same with startups, you know, done is better than perfect. Just get started. Connect yourself, with other angels. And maybe when you start, you may not want to do it like I did it, like go single, like, you know, look for your own deal and then just do it by yourself. I think this comes with an even higher risk. But maybe you can attach yourself to another angel that maybe has already done a few deals to kind of, follow along, you know, with another angel in the very beginning. I think this would be probably a good advice. And then just ask yourself what your investment strategy should be. And I think this question, like, do I want this product or this company or do I think this needs to be in the world and why? Yeah, can I stand behind this idea and can I identify with the team or the product or best both, and do I really want to support this? And if you can answer this with a yes, and you really like the team and you like to work with them, then just go for it. Yeah. You know, just get started and do it.
Yeah, that's really good. I'll recap the advice. So you have to want it first and then you have to start. Just, done is better than perfect. You have to define the budget you would be willing to lose eventually. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not, but... don't put all your money in it. You need to build connections and network a lot and define your investment thesis or just pick startups you would like to support, ideas, founders and teams where you think the world really needs this. So, and so would venture ladies be a good place to start, for example, for someone, because not everyone knows an angel to join for, I mean, that's easier said than done. When I was starting, I knew some angels, but they were in Stockholm, for example. They were not in Berlin, and I wanted to support like more of a local ecosystem, of course, female founders as well. So I started to ask around and I found out I do know angels. They were all men, which is not bad. Like, we still join forces. But yeah, so how would you recommend?
Venture Ladies would be one starting point. There are, of course, other angel networks that you can reach out to. I mean, Encourage Ventures would be one. The Evangelistas, a Slack group, you can be added to that. And then just, you know, start. It doesn't matter where you start, just start, you know, reach out, attend maybe some events. Then, you know, there's the business angel clubs in Berlin, but also in other regions. Then there are a lot of like pitch events at Factory Berlin, like at Stop Reactor Mode Berlin. And, like just, you know, you can basically Google it, like angel pitch event, and then in your area or even online now due to Corona. So just attend these events and just get a feeling of the ecosystem get a feeling of the opportunities that are out there. And then define for yourself if you like to focus on a special area. You know, for example, if you're a doctor and you want to invest, then maybe you say, okay, I want to invest smart money as well. And I have a special expertise in the medical field. So maybe you want to, you know, watch out for a startup that is, you know, inventing Health something new there. So you can also bring some added value to your startup and also can connect them with like good deductions to like how you've highly valued individuals that have a special know-how or network in the field that they're active in. Also, I think I would try to diversify a little bit. Like if you have a budget of, let's say, $50K to put into venture capital, like this is your gambling money. Like you, of course, you want to have a return, but it can also be gone. I would rather suggest, you know, to do like 5 tickets at $10K rather than doing like one $50K ticket. Because, I mean, you have a rather long investment period, right? Especially if you go in very early stage with these small tickets, and it takes at least 5, probably 7 years until you see returns. So
it's
the
not
money,
like crypto.
Yes, so it's gone for sure for a long time. And even if you end up with a multiple of 10x, which I really hope for, yeah, it's just gone for a long time. So you need to make sure that you maybe diversify also a little bit.
Yeah, those are really good advices. I think, yeah, immerse yourself and like start to integrate yourself into this world you want to belong to, like before you belong to into this world. I think that's probably good. And so venture ladies, if someone wants to join, they can just Google it and like just like send a submission request. And
we have an email list and you can send us an email. You find us at ventureladies.com. You find the LinkedIn and Facebook group. You can join it. So it's a very open network. It's
So there are no special requirements.
No.
You just have to bring some interest, like intellectual curiosity for venture topics or startups.
So it's for founders, it's for investors, for angels, for people who work in the venture capital
community
ecosystem or community builders. So it's, it's rather broad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for Kavari Ventures, if someone is a female B2B SaaS founder,
please send your pitch deck.
It's funny because in the last episode, we were having Gloria Bäuerlein here. Mm-hmm. She is going into angel investment full time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, soon. And she is focusing on B2B SaaS. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the percentage of the female founders in her portfolio. And I think maybe you girls should get in touch with each other. So it could be.
That could be a fruitful discussion.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be a win-win. Yeah, perfect. I think I think we're done with our interview. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Katja.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.